Alrighty, we're with Anna Hughes. Anna works at the Otago Polytech with the Educational Development Centre. And Anna is part of a team exploring what it means, what sustainability means in educational context and educational practice, and coming up with models and methods to propose back to the staff at the Polytechnic to achieve. The Polytechnic, Anna, has a goal, doesn't it? Some sort of overarching goal to do a sustainability.
Yep, the Polytech has a goal of every graduate may think and act as a sustainable practitioner.
May think and act as a sustainable practitioner, okay, yep.
So I guess that means that every department needs to be incorporating the content and process of sustainability.
Whatever that is, so let's get some detail on that, up for discussion, we hope.
Yes, I guess in terms of flexible learning and flexible course design, which is what we're talking about here, isn't it?
Yep.
My belief is it's more the process around education for sustainability. The content of sustainability is all over the news, and that's kind of obvious and can be related to
right, that's
specific
the stuff
courses.
Like resources running out, yep, and resource pools and all that stuff. Carry on. Yep.
But it's how we communicate that to students as well as giving students the skills and the skills specifically, the knowledge is the easy part, I believe, but the skills to actually act on some of these issues and deal with these issues.
In the context, I suppose, are you being subject specific here? So if we're talking about, I don't know, nurses, is it giving them the skills to act sustainably in the context of nursing, or is it more general than that?
Well, I guess OP's goal is in the context of nursing, but right. My hope and belief is that if they learn to practice sustainability in their given field, that will actually filter through to their lives as well.
Okay.
That's the hope for me. Yeah.
So tell us about this process that you've got in mind.
So some of the research by Bjarne Jensen in Denmark and Carsten Snap, I think is the other guy.
Also Denmark.
They've done a lot of research into action competence. And action competence is a term that's evolved through experiential learning is another another concept where action competence has kind of emerged out of that, and specifically around helping people to develop competence in order to take action on an issue or on anything in their lives. So the research that they did show that there are specific processes in teaching that can help create this action competence idea in students, which, you know, is obviously going to feed into sustainability in the world in general. So a few of those points are student-driven or student-negotiated learning, where students actually take ownership in negotiation with the teacher, but they actually take ownership for their learning, and there's a progression in that, obviously, around critical thinking and understanding and reflection and all those basic skills, communication and group work that they need to have initially to then go up to actually taking some of the ownership of their learning and what they actually want to learn and how they're going to go about doing it, often in the form of a project or something where they actually do something. And so they're learning experientially. So there's the experiential learning model.
Experiential learning, project-based experiential learning. Okay.
That's right. So that's been shown to create action competence, no matter what the outcome of the project was that the students took, as long as all those foundation skills of communication and reflection and, I guess, understanding self and others, all those basic things, as long as they've come into the project, no matter whether the project succeeds or fails, there's a whole lot of learning and competence gained from the students around how it is that they actually make change in the world.
So that first one in your process is a bit of a holy grail for education generally, so that's a hard first
communication
step. Well, inspiring students to take ownership of their learning.
That's right.
So yeah. What past that step, what's the next one? So that was the first one in the step, or
What it's all about, and it's students totally driving their learning, and that's at the end of the spectrum, and at the start of the spectrum is teachers helping students develop the skills that they need to actually start taking some ownership for their learning and those skills that I mentioned before.
Actually, I noticed you had a piece of paper, Barry Law had broken it up into three parts.
This is specifically for Otago Polytech and an experiential learning process for the Polytech, and it's based on a degree program, year 1, 2, 3, and it's just basically those steps that I talked about, that first year students really looking at their own values, learning about reflection and what it means to reflect on themselves and what they do, getting to know themselves and others, communicating with others, and developing skills to work in a group. So that's kind of year one basic skills that's often teacher led. Year two in this case is about students taking on some of the ownership of their learning and driving some of that learning in negotiation with the teacher. And then year three is about student-initiated projects.
And the teacher plays a kind of reactionary role to the students.
What was the word that was quite interesting?
Broker.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Teachers functioning as learning brokers.
Okay.
That's the term.
So they're reacting to a student says, I need to do this, and the teacher will find them a teacher if needed, or an instructor, or a group to work with, and things like that.
Yeah,
I wonder if that could work in a shorter scale, like Barry's articulated in a 1, 2, 3 year model. I wonder if that could happen in, say, a shorter frame
one
of time. One class.
So that's what I'm trying to do right now.
Are you?
With the travel and tourism students here, that they're year two. One thing that I am finding is they are lacking some of that background work. And
group skills and things like that.
Group skills, communication, understanding themselves and others, all that kind of stuff. Some of them, not all of them, but as a group, definitely. So we've quickly moved through to them negotiating their project-based learning with me, which we are seeing lots of success so far, and it hasn't by no means finished.
I've observed that class, and I reckon there's clear indicators of success. People who have had, students have a reputation for being generally disengaged from the overall program are highly engaged in that particular class, and I think it's because they do have a sense of ownership in what they're doing,
and they're becoming more and more engaged as they realize that this is up to them to make this project work. And the classic the other day was that they said, oh well, everyone just has to be at that class, and they said, you have to check your email every day, we've got to be able to communicate. And that was classic. I mean, how many times do teachers tell students that they have to do that, but it's in one ear and out the other, because they're not actually engaged, they're not actually experiencing that actually needs to happen for them to be successful in this work.
So from what I'm hearing, it actually has so much in common with our overall goals as teachers in an educational sense. And so in that regard, I guess that so-called good teaching is sustainable in itself, and that the content that you're talking about, is relatively easy, and that's the stuff we generally know about, the resource depletion, the war as a result of it, and all of that other stuff.
But even in terms of, a random subject, say Mucine again, there's certain skills that they have to know, and those skills might need to be taught and role modelled and demonstrated. All that kind of stuff. But there's probably also a lot of skills in nursing where they can use some kind of student negotiated learning, some kind of inquiry based learning.
Maybe an investigation on how to dispose of medical waste in different ways.
Yeah.
Like that.
I mean, not even in terms of sustainability. If you don't even think about sustainability, if we just think about good teaching practice, I believe that this model is a sustainable model for
overall
teaching.
No matter what the subject.
And for students, effective student learning.
Well, Anna, thanks very much for talking to us. This recording will go out to the group in flexible learning, and we'll see what sort of discussion might come from that. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll be interested to hear other people's ideas.
I'll forward it on for you.
Thanks.
Okay.